And gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. My very special guest joining us straight off the bat is Mike James from Healthy.co.nz, which is one of New Zealand's largest online retailers of health products, and they've been so kind as to allow us to, you know, get some of their products out to you there in the US, as well as, of course, everywhere else in the world that's listening right now on the internet streams. Mike James, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thank you, Vinnie.
Now, a man of quite adept business acumen you are, one thing I'd like to know, just a little bit about yourself, a bit about your background.
Yeah, sure, Vinnie. I was born in Auckland and grew up and on the North Shore here, and probably about 1980 or thereabouts, I was involved with a company called Total Image, which pioneered the introduction of colostrum and protein powders into New Zealand. And that company's gone on to be quite a large company that exports products right throughout Asia. In 1990 or thereabouts, I moved to the central North Island with my partner, Leanne. We had a young daughter and raised her in the King Country, which was great fun, and fishing and all the outdoor things on your back doorstep. But unfortunately, like a lot of small towns, it was hard going from a business point of view when you're self-employed. And even though we started our business down in the King Country in 1993, we moved back to Auckland in 97 and opened at our current premises. And not long after that, started our online business, which we were quite early to get involved in that particular space. I'm also do some voluntary work on the board of the New Zealand Charter of Health Practitioners, and they're the main registering body for health professionals in New Zealand. I've been involved with the charter for about 6 years. The company itself, we've got a staff of 10. Three of those people are fully qualified naturopaths, and so that's one of the things we're a little bit different, is people can actually talk to someone who's qualified and get free advice over the counter or by email or phone from one of the naturopaths.
As opposed to one being paid by a pharmaceutical company that is likely to prescribe you something that is very dangerous indeed. In response, they will get a trip to Fiji. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Mike James from Ideal Health in New Zealand at healthy.co.nz. We'll be right back after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. My very special guest is Mike James from Healthy.co.nz. Welcome back from break.
Thank you.
Let's break it down here. Now, the fields of alternative health, in my opinion, are growing quite considerably. It's a growth industry. And the reason for this, I suspect, is because the so-called orthodox medical industry, according to the Ministry of Health, is the third leading cause of death in this country. And, and people have begun to prefer life rather than death.
Unusual, that, isn't it?
I know. I mean, who would have thunk such a primal instinct would still exist in our current manufactured, propagandized, and electronically elevated society? You know, and people are kind of losing touch with what their bodies are, what really needs to be going into them, and more to the point, the corporations and various other scumbags, from the low-level idiot to the high-level financier, all pollute the environment to no end, and mostly with poison. You know, they don't.
It's an unfortunate thing. Any pharmaceutical is going to have an adverse effect on your body, and that's why often when you take a pharmaceutical to fix one problem, eventually you go back to the doctor and they give you something else to fix the problem that that drug has created. So you can end up with taking quite a cocktail, which your liver in particular gets quite stressed by that. And your liver's your main organ that eliminates toxins from your body, and when that's pressured, it can cause a lot of other health issues to arise.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are really unaware of just how powerful these kind of medications are. Well, you're just seriously zonked out, just unbelievably strong, the effect of these, you know. It can make people go so numb that they can't even feel their own hands.
Terrible, isn't it?
I mean, the list of side effects is like longer than the medical literature for the thing that they're diagnosing it for.
Exactly.
So, in your opinion, what is the solution to this kind of medical madness and mayhem?
Well, I think people initially have to realise that just because someone's in a white coat, that they're not God. And unfortunately, even though I'm sure that our doctor and other health professionals, their heart is in the right place, they do come from a drug model, and you actually have to realise that when they're giving you information. And at times, you need to make your own inquiries. So it's that's often the pharmacist rather than the doctor that's going to tell you what all the side effects will be, and often they are worse than probably what you're taking the drug for in the first place.
Yeah, it's like, have you got a slight cough? Here, take this. Slight chance of suicide, though.
Well, I think there is a place for the medical professional and drugs in acute situations, but just simple things can make such a difference, Vinny. I mean, let's just take water, for example. We all appreciate that we need water to survive, but it's probably one of the most important things that we can put in our mouth, and most of us are continually dehydrated. And that can lead to a lot of problems that people would commonly go to the doctor, such as dyspepsia and those sort of indigestive problems. Often they can be fixed just by drinking adequate amounts of water each day.
Yep. And then the government comes out and tells you to drink 8 glasses of water a day, and then they add chlorine and fluoride into it.
True. I personally drink out of water that's had that removed and being mineralised, but certainly I don't know what it's like in other parts of the world, but Auckland water's not particularly pleasant first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some places in Auckland, you turn on the tap and you're like, holy cow, I can't light a match in here. it's just so awful. And one thing I'd really, really want to know is why exactly we're giving it all up to private contractors like Veolia, the world's largest private water corporation, as if we're freaking Bolivia.
Well, that's right. I think there's been a few movies made on that, isn't it? Cornering the world's water supply. I think there was a James Bond movie made about that at one point. So it's not really a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Thirst, and your thirst will never die.
Yeah, price.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interestingly enough, did you know that Libya has one of the largest and richest supplies of fresh water underground than any country on Earth?
No, I didn't. That's unusual considering where it is in the world.
Well, it becomes an awfully lot more explainable, the enormous amounts of Western military that's deciding to flock in there and instantly help the rebels, of course, set up their own oil company and their own central bank already.
Yeah, you sound a bit cynical like myself. I think there's a reason that they're there, and it's probably oil, and it could be the water. I mean, water, I think, will become more valuable than oil in time because we can survive without oil, but we cannot survive without water. So there'll be wars fought over that, I'm quite sure.
Well, yeah, and the problem is it's all false wars anyway. I mean, we've got technology and we've got knowledge in our communities and things of that nature that we can allow people to become a heck of a lot more self-sufficient than they currently are. If you wanted to create water in your own environment, hey, there's ways and means to do it. You know, you can catch condensation. You can use water generators that suck the moisture out of the air. There's many ways that you can do it. However, the government and the media and companies rely on us being dependent. So it means that the kind of information that would make people independent is counterproductive to whatever aims that they've got.
Making money probably is one of the big ones, I'm sure, which, you know, any business needs to make money to survive. But I think a lot of the big corporates are doing, particularly when you look at the pharmaceutical companies, there's a lot of things that are going on that I think we can say unscrupulous, as a personal opinion. I'm sure that's possibly yours and some of your listeners as well. You've only got to look at the actual funding for pharmaceutical drugs. It's a large part of our tax dollars, and I'm sure a lot of the drugs don't cost anywhere near the amount that they're paid for with funding. It's just that they have a monopoly situation for a number of years with new pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the difficulty is with pharmaceutical drugs is that if you ask them if there's some kind of scientific test that can verify whether or not this drug is effective, basically a lot of them won't have double blinds or placebo tests even, you know? And essentially you're a guinea pig. You know, they don't know what the effects of these drugs really could possibly be. And because the approval process of them is so fast-tracked, and incidentally all the people that vote on the FCC boards and things of that nature wind up having pharmaceutical company financial connections anyway.
Funny that.
They kind of bypass the testing stages and safety measures and then just use the wider population as just an extension of their lab.
Well, I'm sure that's not very far from the truth, if not the truth, Vinny. I mean, an example I could give you that is quite close to home is my daughter worked with a young colleague who was just in her 20s, and she didn't really have a weight problem, but was getting a bit of grief, we call it in New Zealand, from her boyfriend about her body size. Went to the doctor and went on the pharmaceutical drug Reductyl, and she actually ended up having a heart attack and admitted to Auckland Hospital. So thankfully she's okay now, but I noticed that drug has since been removed from the market because of these sorts of concerns. So it's surprising that it's out there in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And this is one thing that I would kind of really, really begin to grow suspicious of, right, is that when people are selling products in any kind of business, the possibility of those products hurting people and becoming dangerous is probably the most paramount of important information that you should request. You know, has this product ever killed anybody? Is this product dangerous? What's going on here? I mean, does this toy have lead paint? You know, and it's a myriad of cacophonies of different cancer causing carcinogens that we're exposed to on a daily friggin' basis anyway, isn't it? Because everything has been overlooked.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can't avoid it, particularly living in a city. You've got cars driving by and they're emitting fumes. So if nothing else, you're breathing those in, and there's pesticide residue and and other chemicals on our food unless you're eating organic, and there's chemicals in our water. So that's very hard to get away from. This is why the liver in particular is really important. But I think that what people need to do, in my opinion, is just make a choice to start taking control of their own health. And there's plenty of alternatives to pharmaceuticals and doctor-prescribed medicines. You just really need to speak to somebody that's a natural health professional that can guide you in the right direction and work with them. And often by following natural health recommendations and taking supplements, if it's approached in a holistic way, it'll often force people to start looking at their health and lifestyle choices, and that can make a difference as well, particularly with things like stress, which is a really common problem these days with everything being so fast-paced.
Yep. Well, this is the thing. We're heating up and we're speeding up, right? But interestingly enough, despite the fact that we're doing everything faster and we're being exposed to more heat and everything, none of that's physical energy being generated these days, you know? It's like we walk from our door to our car, we drive to our work, and then we get out, we get in the elevator, we sit down in a chair for hours and hours. You know, people would be taking very, very little exercise. None of that heat that they're generating is something that actually helps their body. It's all something that's becoming added on as extra. There's so many dangers with EMF radiation fields and all the plastic and everything like that. It's all made of oil, and apparently it's kind of poisonous to touch. And the receipts have bisphenol A in them, and it makes you sterile, apparently, or effeminate. and it's just where exactly does anybody have a chance of surviving in a place like this? I mean, life expectancy, apparently, the reason why life expectancy was so low beforehand, before we had all the great advances and were able to keep very young children from dying close to birth, when you go to the old cemeteries, that's where a lot of the young children were, you know? They just died earlier on. And what they've done is they've averaged it out to say that, oh, people are now living longer and all of that. But no, the average back then was like something like 84 once you got after the child years, you know, yes. if you survived those. And nowadays it's slipping, you know, down to like 79 or something for men now. The whole country and everybody in it is under attack through toxic chemicals. How are people supposed to protect themselves?
Well, I think it's impossible to fully protect yourself unless you go and live on a mountain retreat somewhere, I guess, and drink spring water and grow your own vegetables. But we can always make choices.
You'll get chemtrails there anyway, but go ahead.
you can always make choices with anything that you do, and just simple things like ensuring that you drink a good quality water source and adequate amounts, trying to make good food choices and avoiding heavily processed foods in particular. If you've got some space, it's very easy to grow your own vegetables, just even in a planter box on your deck or windowsill, you'd be quite surprised. And I tend to agree with you, it's impossible to get away from it entirely, but I guess that's the choice we make by living in the city. But we can still make day-to-day choices about what we actually put in our mouth and to some extent what chemicals we're exposed to and how much exercise and relaxation time we get. But certainly from our point of view, working with people day-to-day, stress is really a major factor. It's far more prominent than it was even 10 years ago. And I think just the demands of in a lot of cases, two people having to work to support a family these days and raising a family and all the commitments that go with that, and you've got your work responsibilities. And with the global recession, obviously a lot of businesses have downsized, which has meant that possibly the same or less staff are required to do a similar amount of work. So that all puts some pressure on people. So I guess you know, people have to look at that too, because stress really is a killer. And there are things that you can take, such as magnesium, which is something you can take as a drink or a tablet that'll actually help you to relax and is very friendly to your cardiovascular health. Fish oil would be another one. But Really, it's a matter of trying to remove yourself from those stressful situations, work out what they are, and come up with strategies to help, whether that's a walk during the middle of the day, or go for a run, or go to the gym, or there's plenty of choices. Play with the kids after work. I think there's a lot of choices that people can make, but unfortunately, we tend to often arrive home feeling exhausted, and so it can be a bit of a vicious circle for people.
Well, yeah, and that's because they sit in front of a computer screen all day around all this electronic equipment, not moving, so they get all stiff. And again, it's like the chips are stacked against you.
Right, but you can, you know, get up for 5 minutes and go outside and get a bit of fresh air, or just stop and go and get a glass of water or some other type of beverage. So you can make choices, but I know for myself, I've got to be quite careful. I can easily spend quite some time in front of the computer doing something, and time goes by very quickly, far more than what you might realise.
Yeah. Well, again, it emphasises the prospect now of individual responsibility. The reason why our health and our society has become so degraded, I believe, is because all the people that have been doing all these polluting things have been doing so with impunity, because the corporates that they represent or the political parties that they represent take the flak, not the individual. So therefore, the responsibility has been completely abdicated, which completely justifies any form of aberrant behaviour.
Yes. I guess some people will fall into that trap, and it's probably easy to fall into that trap. But I think you've got to sort of rise above that and just see that for what it is. And I think there's a lot of trickery in marketing to get people to do certain things, and that's obviously, those businesses are out there to make money, and they may at times purport to be interested in being health conscious, but I think that they demonstrate often through their actions that's not the case.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mike James from healthy.co.nz on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about trickery and marketing. And we'll be right back after the break. Listen in live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and join us in the chat room at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man. He's gonna take me to that little room. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no.
And we're back. Whose side are you on, ladies and gentlemen? Do you want to see everybody nice and happy and healthy and live in a nice golden age of humanity and freedom and joy and such forever? Another nice adjectives. Come on. Then you've got to do something about it. Welcome back to my very special guest, Mike James, the business dude from healthy.co.nz. Now, speaking of doing business, I was wondering about something. The concept of getting profit, there's nothing inherently wrong with getting profit unless it's to the detriment of either your customers or to the environment from which you, obtain your products, right?
Sure.
Okay, so I figured, triple bottom line here, you've got to make a profit, you've got to benefit the customers, you've got to not damage the environment, it's got to be sustainable, essentially. And and not in the globalist, I want to take over your country for my own ends so that we can have oil for another 20 years and try and make you detriment kind of sustainability. I'm talking about actually making something that's good for everybody. And one thing I find about modern business practice, and indeed the modern business community, like everybody rubbing shoulders and such like that, is that those are not of primary concern at all.
That's right. That's so true, Vinny. I think that you're quite right. Business has to be profitable. I mean, if you're a good business and doing things the right way and looking after your customers, then generally your business will grow and survive. But if you're not making money, well, you're not going to be around to help people the next day, and particularly from a health perspective, that's important. People want continuity of dealing with people, and certainly ourselves, we try and be very friendly to deal with and do the right thing.
Well, and this is the thing about being friendly. You know how sometimes you'll get screwed over by some company, and instead of them instantly going, "Oh my goodness, sorry that we've screwed up here. Let's fix this problem for you. This is what we can do." Okay, great. Fantastic.
well, you'd like to think that would happen. I mean, I can assure you 100% that if someone's got a problem with anything, we fix it. All our products come with a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Even if you've used the product, if you're not happy, we'll give you a refund. And so from our point of view, we ensure that we stock high-quality products, and that's why we like to try and get involved where we can to give people the right set of advice, which may not necessarily be purchasing a product. It may just be some dietary advice or what I mentioned earlier about drinking more water. And there's plenty of those sorts of informative resources written by our naturopathic team on our website that people can just print off or read free of charge. And so if in that sort of case, people again can just go back to what we were saying before about taking a bit more control of their own health as well.
Well, you know, in terms of, let's say, the idea that there's a conspiracy to control the world, which I technically believe that there is, and it's pretty self-evident, really, because if it was everything was happening by accident, some good things would occasionally happen, but they never do. You know, and one thing I'd be thinking about is engaging in a counter-conspiratorial movement where you have people with that business model triple bottom line who all support each other and do business with each other and try and shunt out and try and undermine all the other corrupt organizations. And
yeah, I think that's called barter card, isn't it?
Is it?
Or barter.
Hmm.
You know, so where we swap goods and services rather than paying money.
Do you have a barter card?
Yep, yeah, we do barter with a number of people. Yep, but barter cards are giving a plug for another company. It's another organisation here in New Zealand that it's like a trade exchange. So that's I guess one way of approaching it. All that's more getting back to, I guess, a banking sort of model.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at a more basic level, you know, like I love fishing, and occasionally I give my neighbour some fish, and occasionally he gives me some things out of his garden. So, you know, simple things like that. But I think with bigger corporations, one of the issues is if you look at what's happened over the last 20 years, in a lot of cases the people that are running big companies now would formerly have been accountants. So I think money is really too much of an issue, and a lot of staff in big companies are obviously on bonuses, so they really haven't got a reason to fix somebody's problem because it's going to actually cost them money. Whereas from our point of view, we're very interested to know if there's any problems, because we want to find out about them and fix them and do the right thing by the customer. So I guess that's one benefit of dealing with a relatively small family-run business.
Well, it's taking preventative measures as well. I mean, it's there's this phrase, and I still, for the life of me, don't know exactly what this phrase means or who coined it, but it's called the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff.
Sure. Well, that's what tends to happen, isn't it? In fact, probably 10-15% of the people that we would see in our retail store have tried doctors, specialists, and things just aren't working for them. Now, it's often not until they take control of their health a little bit more just by doing some of the simple things that we've talked about, that their health starts to change. I mean, I can give you an example from someone that spoke to us yesterday who had just come out of hospital. He had had a heart attack. He was on a serious amount of medication. He wanted some advice from one of the naturopaths about what he could do naturally as well. And when the lady concerned here was talking to him, found out that he was drinking 6 cups of coffee a day. Now, no one in the hospital or his doctor had ever talked to him about the effect that caffeine has on high blood pressure and cardiovascular health. And he was quite surprised that none of them have discussed it with him, and very pleased to get that information so that he could modify that part of his lifestyle to hopefully assist his recovery and his cardiovascular health and blood pressure. So it's just simple things often.
Well, that's unfortunate because, hey, they could have gotten some extra profit off of selling him some more drugs to the bad side effects that he had.
Yeah, I think that in that case it was probably just ignorance, but it does surprise me that the allopathic doctors don't realise the effect that caffeine has, and unfortunately it's in so many things. It's in all these energy drinks. You will get it from consuming tea, coffee, Milo, which is a common drink here in New Zealand. That's a chocolate drink promoted as a health-giving drink for children, but unfortunately it contains caffeine, and that's something we exposed. If you go to our website, we've got a blog section, and there's a video that we've done, so we really stuck our neck out there and basically hammered Nestle for promoting it in that particular manner. And there's a lot of instances like that where things are promoted as being health-giving, when in fact, really, when you look at it closely, it's just marketing hype, unfortunately.
Well, one thing that really disturbs me is the fact that people think that business is different from politics.
I think they're quite intertwined, Vinny.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like you're looking at water. Business is the oxygen and politics is the hydrogen. They are bonded together.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy because, I mean, in the pharmaceutical industry, that's so true because, you know, basically our taxes pay for pharmaceutical companies' products. And there's a lot of instances in big business where it's the one that's got the most money to lobby the politicians in Wellington that ends up winning. So it's not often based on logic, fact, or reason. And politicians, as you know, I personally think on the whole they're quite corrupt, and I don't mean in the sense of taking bribes or money, but just they're meant to be acting on behalf of the people, but I don't believe that in a lot of cases that's the case. They act out of self-interest. And that's to our detriment, and it's interesting that we vote them in and then they just do what they like. In fact, I can give you a classic example of that in New Zealand. Probably about 6 or 7 years ago, we had a report produced by Dr. Peggy Kaufman, who's a very respected health professional and educator in New Zealand. She was the chairman of the MACA committee, which was a committee set up to look at integration of the natural health system into hospitals and making it more mainstream and seeing what it could do to help the general population's health. Now, there was a lot of time and effort put onto that report. We were one of the companies that actually made a submission. And the Labor government at the time, Annette King, who was the health minister, the day before the report was to be released, announced that she was going to move forward with signing a treaty with Australia, which would have seen probably 20% of everything we sell having to be removed from the shelf because it wouldn't comply with Australian law but complied with New Zealand law. So that to me was a total disregard of the political process by her preempting the report with that indication of signing the treaty. Thankfully, we fought tooth and nail for that, both in my capacity as a volunteer at the Health Charter and other organisations that we support, and actually managed to defeat that legislation. So thankfully nothing's changed, but it's still on the agenda with the whole purpose, I think, of aligning our laws with Australia. But unfortunately in Australia they have a curious system where they have what they call a whitelist, and that means that you cannot produce a product without it appearing on the list. And that sounds all fine and well in theory, but the reason for it was to make the compliance costs and the tens of thousands of dollars per product to block overseas competition from the Australian businesses. Whereas in New Zealand, the approach is quite different and allows a lot of innovation, and you've seen some very interesting products being produced in New Zealand simply because we have what we call a blacklist, which are products that are banned and are not allowed to be used. Anything else can be put in a product. So it's led to things like Colorex, which has now gone worldwide. That's a trademark name for a New Zealand native plant, Horopito. That's had very good results with both orally and topically for candida and thrush and athlete's foot and those types of problems. And in Australia, you just wouldn't get that innovation because of the compliance costs to register the product. So, you know, great thinking from the Labor government. They want us to sign up to that in Australia, and would mean everyone would pay more for the products and have less choice. So that sounds like a great idea.
Well, I presume you would be familiar with Health Freedom in New Zealand then.
Yes, they're one of the organisations that we support, and there's the New Zealand Health Trust as well. We're very active, and David Sloan, who is the man behind that, he was very generous with his time and money and paid for a lot of people to lobby on behalf of the industry, and also employed a full-time lawyer who has since got into Parliament through the National Party, which was quite interesting.
Yeah, and speaking of money and lobbying, did you remember seeing that documentary that was released last year with that that guy from Auckland University, some professor or something, called "Are Vitamins Killing Us?"
That's yes. That there was just so many inaccuracies in that I wouldn't know where to begin. But basically, he was really unqualified to make the statements that he made, and the statements that he made, a lot of them weren't really correct. But that was actually part of the lobbying from not pharma, but we have a couple of large natural health companies in New Zealand that would love to see that law that I mentioned that we defeated come in, simply because if it did, a lot of smaller businesses, their competition in effect would go out of business. And so there's a little bit of factionality there amongst the industry at a manufacturing and wholesale level.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about our current society, is that we're all kind of treated like a bucket full of crabs. And as soon as one crab kind of makes it near the edge, somebody else gets their claws around your ankle and drags you back down with them. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Mike James from healthy.co.nz. Click on the banners at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and theVinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, American Freedom Radio. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide. And speaking of the lighter side, thinking about this Japanese nuclear crisis, something like 86 times worse than Chernobyl. People are throwing numbers around. My number is 3, and it's 3 letters, B-A-D. It's bad.
It's real bad.
Yeah. It's about as bad as it can get, you know? Just you know, I don't know, imagine a nice little cauldron full of the end of the world, human extinction, and nuclear fallout, and starvation and economic crisis, and just mix them all up together, and take a few shots, I don't know, at a bar. Yeah. That's basically what we're dealing with here.
It is. I mean, it looks like, you know, they've got it under control to the degree where none of them are going to go sky high. But as we were discussing before off air, there's some fusile material that looks like it's burnt through the bottom of the vessel that contains it, and there's contamination in the sea around the plant 10,000 times what is considered to be safe. So there's actually radioactivity leaking into the sea, and obviously we've got steam coming out that's radioactive, water that's radioactive, so it's just a mess. From what I've heard, they're going to encase four of them in concrete, and possibly the other two might come back online, but it's really quite a concern.
They've confirmed yesterday that the last two will not come back online at all. They're going to pull the plug on the whole thing because apparently they've now learned that it's not a brilliant idea to build a nuclear facility on a fault line on a beach.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was on a fault line too, Vinny. That's great, isn't it? Oh dear.
But conveniently,
it's woken up a few other countries because I believe that China has put on hold all new applications, and a lot of countries are looking a lot more closely at how these things are run. But I'm very, very pleased New Zealand made the decision to be nuclear free. I wouldn't want them in my back door, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's the old not in my backyard scenario, right? Now, speaking of not in my backyard, you know what you can't find right now in the United States?
Potassium iodide.
Yeah.
Funny that. The government's bought most of it. In fact, I only heard this as hearsay, but it was from a relatively reliable source that apparently the government gave a directive to all doctors and pharmacists that they could not dispense the product, and they bulk purchase, I believe, 70% of all supplies in the US and have just stockpiled them.
Yep.
Which doesn't actually help people if they need it, because they're concerned about radioactive poisoning.
Well, see, they need to get some thyroid support of some kind. I mean, what do people actually need to do with it? Because apparently, and this is what Dr. Bill Deagle said, that thyroid support kind of stuff like that with iodine supplements can actually kill you.
Well, it can if you take it unnecessarily for long periods of time. But the American government at the Center for Disease Control have actually released some information on how to use potassium iodide. And the key thing, I think, for people to appreciate is if they're concerned about radioactivity and radioactive poisoning, they actually ideally want to have the iodine on hand, but they should not start using it until they know they've been exposed. And then what that does is the potassium iodide, it actually fills up your thyroid essentially with iodine so that it doesn't have the ability to take on the radioactive form of the iodine. And that's really how it would work. But your gentleman that you mentioned is quite correct. You shouldn't actually use it unless you have that exposure.
But once you take it, once you're exposed, doesn't that kind of defy the point of taking it anyway?
Well, yes, because it cannot fix something that's already occurred, and that's why I'd suggest it's important if you're concerned is to actually have the product on hand, so that if, for instance, worst case scenario, there's a radioactive cloud heading your way, you can actually take the iodine prior to that, and that will mean that your thyroid won't take up the iodine. Well, I have to say, if I may, Benny, it's not going to stop you taking on the radioactivity, but the problem is your thyroid gland is the first gland that gets affected by any sort of radioactive type of disturbance.
Mm-hmm. So how do people actually protect themselves? I mean, you can go to the banners, the thyroid support banners on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and gorillamedia.co.
I definitely suggest that you do that rather than go to our website direct. And there's a special offer that we've made to the listeners. There's a code that you can pick up from the AmericanFreedomRadio.com site. And when you use that code, you'll get half price shipping anywhere in the world. The product that we've got, it's made here in New Zealand. It's a solution of potassium iodide. It retails in New Zealand dollars for $19.90, which US dollars is only a mere $15. And I'll point out that's the same price that it was prior to the nuclear event, because I know there's been a lot of price gouging with people ramping up the price of these products. And shipping to the US would normally be $11.50 New Zealand, but with the shipping rebate, it's only $5 US for shipping. So basically, for under $20 US, we can send the product to you. It's shipped by first class insured air. Most cities in the US would expect delivery within 3 to 5 business days. So it's a very prompt service, and I've got plenty of stock on hand if people need it.
Yeah. Well, and of course, this is interesting because the rest of the world seems to be sold out and stockpiled because the government wants to protect their own people, but not their own citizens.
well, even in New Zealand, there is some supply issues, but I've managed to secure a supply of it through a compounding pharmacy. But I have heard there's been buying up of large stocks worldwide, so it's not just in America. It's basically wherever people are concerned about it.
All right. I'd like to thank you so much, Mike, for coming on the show with us today. Mike James, ladies and gentlemen, you can click on the Ideal Health Thyroid Support banners at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, GorillaMedia.co.nz, and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Thanks so much for coming on with us today, mate. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, Vinny. Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this first hour of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Coming up next hour, we have a special guest possibly for you. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen on live radio. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Now, speaking of unconventional news, we've been breaking down some stuff on GorillaMedia.co.nz today. CDC says the superbug spreads to 35 states, kills upwards of 40% of the people who come into contact. While everyone's focused on the Japan disaster and the war in the Middle East, here is what is really happening. The CDC and LA Times reports a superbug that kills 40% of people it comes into contact with. It has hit 35 US states and is now being spread through California medical facilities. And, yeah, that sounds like a something the government would do. You know, they've done that heaps of times and released sarin gas in New York underground city subways. There was purposeful contamination of vaccine supplies. Even, I think it was General Harry L. Stimson reported in the during the 19-something early on in the Spanish flu pandemic that 9 soldiers dropped dead after having the vaccine right in front of them. So it wouldn't surprise me that they're just using, you know, government medical care and all of that kind of stuff just to implant poisons and stuff into people and just send it out. I mean, the Tuskegee experiments are a classic case of that. They really just for some reason want to kill everybody off, which is clearly evident in any way you look at it. You know, people are pretty dangerous. A dangerous drug-resistant bacterium has spread to patients in Southern California, according to a study by Los Angeles County public health officials. More than 350 cases of the... Oh, man, this is an interesting word. Carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella pneumoniae. I'm so freaking good at pronunciation. Or CRKP. That's easier. Have been reported at the healthcare facilities in Los Angeles County, mostly among elderly patients. Oh, no. At skilled nursing and long-term care facilities, according to a study by Dr. Dawn Terashita, an epidemiologist with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. They put the hell in healthcare. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide, because when everything's so freaking mad, if you lose your sense of humor, you go freaking nuts. And we'll be right back after the break with a little bit more. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide, and we have the CDC, as I said before, working to prevent these infections from spreading around Southern California, including those caused by KPC-producing organisms, which are the most common type in the United States. The KPC gene means that enterobacteria resistant to all beta-lactam carbapenem, sort of high mortality, up to about 40% in one report. So, yeah, if you got this disease, there's about a 40% chance it's going to kill you. And, of course, you probably don't want people to know this because, hey, it'll freak people out. But then again, doesn't every bit of information sort of freak people out a little bit? Isn't it the whole kind of idea of the news is to, you know, just make people just that little bit more afraid and uncomfortable so that they retreat inwards and don't kind of talk to anybody or fit in with society anymore and just sort of, you know, get conditioned? You know, I mean, you know, that's my take. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just calling it as I see it. Now, one thing that I am deeply concerned about is that, of course, the viruses that we're supposed to be afraid of and all of that kind of jazz, they're kind of ever-present. Yep, they are. And I think that a lot of them are engineered. The swine flu outbreak, for example, classic example. Four different types of flu magically blended themselves together. Two strains of swine flu, one strain of human flu, and one strain of bird flu, magically, just in the natural environment, put themselves together. The likelihood of that happening would be astronomical enough to scientifically rule it out as impossible. To mention, none of the infections that originally outbroke in that particular time frame came from people having any exposure to pigs. So why did they call it swine flu? Well, I don't know. Maybe they named it after the swine that manufactured it in their military bioweapons research labs, as a couple of vials of a virus exactly like the swine flu virus that was later released went missing from Fort Detrick, I believe, in Maryland, a day or two before it. And not only had that virus gone missing, but a virus of another kind had been put in its place in the inventory so as to conceal the fact that the virus had been taken. Okay? Set up this kind of stuff. And that it's part of the conspiracy to provoke pandemic, I believe, was the criminal charges filed by Jane Burgermeister with the FBI against Baxter Pharmaceuticals and a number of other globalist organizations, entities, and individuals made that criminal indictment as well. Whatever the status on that is irrelevant because Jane Burgermeister has been getting so much flack, criticism, and copious amounts of truth is attacking her and things of that nature, then it's unbelievable. But, you know, that's what happens when you try to tell the truth and save human life. There's plenty of people, even people who do want to tell the truth and save human life, who just want to tear you down. It's kind of sad, really. But Jane Burgermeister accused me of being an agent once, you know, and that was like, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I love being accused of being an agent, actually, because this is just so patently ridiculous. I'd love to be an agent. Man, that'd be great, man. I could pay my bills at least. Oh, goodness. And something that the truth movement has got down really well is coming up with conspiracy theories. You know, interestingly enough, we're trying to say that a lot of conspiracy theories are untrue. However, The fact of the matter is a lot of conspiracy theories are in fact true. But sometimes conspiracy theorists, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, of course, so I kind of consider myself one, but not in the definition that a lot of people would think it means. Conspiracy theorists choose not to research things before they make baseless accusations in a lot of cases. And this leads to a whole lot of crazy truth around fighting, which is not a good thing. And we're all guilty of it. We all engage in it to a certain extent. We all get heated. You know, as long as we can apologize and say, sorry, I was being a knob, then it's all right. But on the other hand, if you're an author that works for The Guardian, like Nick Cohen, who wrote an article here, "Why Are We So Hooked on Conspiracies?" then maybe you deserve a wee bit of flack for it. Now, this guy has written this article here. I'm just going to read to you in a moment, but it concerns the conspiracy theory of that Mohammed Al-Fayed, who incidentally made his millions through arms smuggling, but we'll never mind that, accusing the MI6 of pulling off the Diana assassination. Because she was pregnant with Dodi Fayed's child. Now, apparently, none of that's true. Now, that's what this guy attempts to cover over here in the article, that, oh, every single piece of evidence is not true. But, of course, he only mentions a couple. For example, Diane is not pregnant and the driver was drunk. Right? So, Diana's not pregnant, the driver was drunk, end of story, right? Okay, That's fine. What he didn't mention, of course, is what happened to the 14 security cameras that were operating that night along the route that the car traveled, and they all simultaneously failed on that night. Isn't that interesting? Not to mention the route that they were taking to their hotel was a very strange one, certainly not the most direct route at all. And incidentally, of course, the paparazzo, who supposedly was on their tail, was found in a burnt-out car a couple of days later. Apparently, it was a suicide. Yeah, that's right. When people commit suicide after that kind of stuff, of course, the way that everybody wants to go is burned to death in a car, right? With his shoes outside it, of course. You know, it doesn't, they don't, that's the thing about disinfo and when mainstream media kind of lies and disinforms people, is that they debunk a few things and then say that they've debunked everything. So that way, when you bring up the argument again, people will remember that mainstream article debunking it and say, haha, it's all been debunked. I'm not going to listen to a single thing you say. This is the way an argument is supposed to be conducted. I won't listen, and you have to shush. I love it. I love it. Now, one thing I'd want to know, in fact, hold on a sec, I've got something here in the chat room. Baxter Corporation asked for the patent on H1N1 virus in 2008. Isn't that interesting? Love it when you use viruses. As Alistair McFarter, the Chief Constable of Suffolk, was begging his colleagues for help in the largest murder hunt of recent times, Lord Stevens, the former Metropolitan Police Commissioner, delivered a report that looks like the greatest waste of police time ever. 9 years after the deaths of Diana, Princess of Wales, and Dodi Fayed, at a cost of $3.7 million, his 832 pages concluded by repeating what French detectives had said at the time. A drunk driver killed her. If it had just been an investigation into mysterious deaths, the Stevens inquiry would have been pointless. There was no mystery, so there was nothing worth investigating. Yeah, of course. What's also not worth investigating is the plan for the assassination of Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia, in a Serbian tunnel, where you would drive a car up beside him, or some vehicle of any description, doesn't really matter what, and they have these big flashing bright lights, kind of like flashbangs, except you just can flash them at people, and it completely blinds them and disorients them, and it causes the driver to lose control of the vehicle and crash and kill everybody. This was a known and admitted plan by intelligence services to assassinate Slobodan Milosevic. And apparently, Princess Diana had, in fact, there were reports of a large flash coming out of the tunnel at the time of the crash as well. But of course, that didn't make it into the 832 pages, I'm sure. But, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe Diana's death was just a tragic accident. Maybe the deaths of two incredibly powerful people who have all the freaking money in the world and all the safety in the freaking world would be so callous as to let an incredibly drunk driver drive them around freaking Paris, right? That's incredibly logical, right? But stuff just happens, is the argument here, okay? It's not worth investigating. Now, this guy presided over Britain's first official inquiry into a conspiracy theory. The result is devastating, a relentless so-called line-by-line refutation of Mohammed El-Fayed's elaborate story on how MI6 officers arranged the murder of the mother of their future sovereign because she was planning to marry Fayed's son, Dodi. Nearly every chapter begins with a paragraph headed "Claims in Support of Conspiracy Allegation," and ends with each and every claim lying in pieces. Fayed alleged that the princess and his son planned to marry because she was marrying his child. The royal family could not accept that an Egyptian Muslim could eventually be the stepfather of the future King of England. So, the old QED ordered their murder. Well, asked Stevens, was Diana pregnant? Absolutely not, said the forensic scientist who tested a blood sample. Who was that scientist? Which was the blood sample? I don't know. But let's take him on his word, right? She wasn't pregnant. Now, I'm not a researcher or anything like that, so I'm just reading out an article here. But you can see kind of how the spin goes. It sort of says the kind of general theme is anything that's a conspiracy theory is really stupid, and any investment in researching into a conspiracy theory is a waste of money and a waste of time and a waste of effort. Okay? That's what an article like this really says to me. Okay? Now, unlike a lot of people, I don't automatically go off and judge something based upon first impression. I have suspicions upon first impression, and then upon further investigation, if I can be bothered, then the judgment comes forth. Because, hey, we're supposed to be making up our minds on occasion at least. You know, make an attempt at some point in your life, people, to make it, to work out something for yourself. It could be worse. Oh, God. Now, I wonder, come to think of it, the term conspiracy theory, like I've said before, is a convenient catch-all term because you can deflect any debate and automatically make everybody appear as if they're some crazy, rambling nutbar. However, there's a person named Jonathan Alanoff who did a documentary called The Core of Corruption. Also, incidentally, wrote an article that's been read over 2 million times called The 33 Conspiracies That Turned Out to Be True. Now, the concept of a conspiracy theory is not the most important element of a conspiracy theory. The most important element is evidence. If you have no evidence, you have nothing to support your theory, therefore you should just shush. And what happens when you don't just shush, when you want answers to your questions and things like that, that people won't give you? Okay? You really do have to look out the answers for yourselves. And this is the thing about personal responsibility. Nobody seems to have any anymore. Oh, man. I think that if we have any idea what society should turn out like, it's a place where, at the very least, you don't have to be threatened when you're in your daily life. Okay? That seems to be fair enough. So therefore, the only people that really deserve a terribly large amount of criticism in this world are those that are actually dangerous. Conspiracy theorists, on the whole, in my opinion, not dangerous at all. The government claims they're dangerous, you know, claims they're dangerous up to wazoo. They're up there with the terrorists and the bombers of Oklahoma City, blah, blah, blah. These conspiracy theorists are such dangerous people who believe things that are not true. And based on no evidence, of course, you know, because thousands, millions of people worldwide all believe things that are just not true based on absolutely no evidence. And you can tell that conclusively by doing absolutely nothing. I mean, come on, people. Is there some description of crystal ball that you can look into that tells you whether or not what somebody's saying is the truth? No! So why then would the government or a mainstream media journalist postulate that because one story is incorrect or one piece of evidence is incorrect, that everything in every sector and every argument of every single conspiracy theory is therefore untrue? Okay? Back in reference to that 33 conspiracies that turned out to be true, didn't you know the mafia was a conspiracy theory? And everybody just went, oh, no, that's just a conspiracy theory. The mafia doesn't exist. Oh, well, they do exist. Okay, sorry about that. Well, the like the Tuskegee experiments that I referenced to before, you know, conspiracies happen all the time. Okay? they're not exactly sparse. It's the modus operandi of government and the businesses that run this freaking planet. It's not that difficult to figure out. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. And we'll be right back after the break.
Problem with you. I hope you like a jumping tune. I want to jump it.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration by GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. The conquest of Africa. NATO wages war on Third Continent. This by Rick Rozoff, a BLN contributing writer. At its summit in Lisbon, Portugal, last November, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization adopted its first strategic concept for the 21st century, one in keeping with its expansion into not only a pan-European, but a self-styled international military force. In addition to subordinating all of Europe to a US-dominated interceptor missile system, completing the new US Cyber Command and waging cyber warfare, defensive and offensive, and erasing whatever distinction remained between NATO and European military functions on the continent and globally, the world's only military bloc endorsed the nearly 10-year-old war in Afghanistan as its prime mission and affirmed its commitment to ongoing operations in the Balkans. Almost all of the approximately 150,000 foreign soldiers in Afghanistan who are currently under the command of NATO-run International Security Assistance Force, which is also conducting deadly helicopter gunship raids and artillery attacks inside neighboring Pakistan. The war in South Asia is NATO's first armed conflict outside Europe, and its first ground war, its bombing campaign in Bosnia in 1995, and 78-day air war against Yugoslavia 4 years later, were its first hostile military actions. And NATO is now waging war in a third continent, Africa. The alliance's summit last year placed particular emphasis on consolidating partnerships with nations outside Europe and North America, military relations and agreements with, counting NATO members and partners alike, over a third of the 192 members of the United Nations. And, you know, all these organizations are all compartmentalized anyway because there's a few key players that basically rule what the heck goes on with the rest of the place, you know. So the Security Council and the United Nations, where five nations have got frickin' veto power. So if anybody wants anything, one of them can just stand up and say, nah, you can't have it, right? Or if, you know, strangely enough, China abstained. And I think it was Russia that abstained as well from the decision by the Security Council to invade Libya, you know. And people say, oh, Vinny, you can't call it an invasion. Like they've got freaking, like, British Royal Marines and stuff like that on boats ready to land on the freaking beaches. How is that not an invasion? Okay, they're just using freaking word magic again to deceive everybody into thinking that, hey, it's not actually what we think it is and what it looks like. You know, it's like walking into your wife's bedroom and finding her with another man, and the wife says, it's not what it looks like. Of course it's what it looks like. She didn't trip and fall, did she? You know, they just think we're idiots. They think we're total idiots. It's like, hey, we're getting involved in another war over here? No, 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 no. It's not a war. It's a conflict. but a conflict's still a war. Okay, well, it's not a conflict. It's an altercation. You know? You don't fear what a euphemism is, okay? Is when you try to play down whatever the heck you're talking about. Ah, it's just so frustrating. You know? Seriously. Cannot for the life of me think that any type of military action involving Libya on the part of any kind of Western force is a brilliant idea. And the Alliance's summit last year placed particular emphasis on consolidating partnerships with nations outside Europe and North America, military relations and agreements with, counting NATO members and partners alike, over a third of the 192 members of the United Nations. Mechanisms employed to extend NATO's influence and operations worldwide include the Partnership for Peace, Mediterranean Dialogue, Istanbul Cooperative Initiative, and the Contact Countries format. You see how these little roundtable groups just keep getting set up and kind of, you know, steering world events, and everybody thinks that their governments still have some kind of power? F off. It's all international now, okay? The future won't have any sovereign states. It'll just be ruled by corporations. The NATO-Afghanistan-Pakistan Tripartite Commission and the NATO-Russia Council. Five of the seven members of the Mediterranean Dialogue, Algeria, Egypt, Mauritania, Morocco, and Tunisia, are African states, with U.S. Africa Command achieving full operational capability on October 1, 2008, the whole continent has been placed under an American overseas military command. Egypt remains in U.S. Central Command's area of responsibility, with plans underway to replicate the arrangement with NATO. And this is the way that they really kind of, it's like the Neo-Roman Empire or something like this. It's like you've got your super state. But instead of just coming out and calling it a singular state that's ruled by an emperor, no. You just create a different entity that supposedly encompasses everybody's will and dialogue and is all lovey-dovey. And then you use it as an opportunity to deceive people so that you can kill them. As far as I see it, maybe I'm being cynical. But I don't think so. And I'm sure that anybody in Libya right now that's currently nursing shrapnel in their leg will agree with me. US Africa Command, or AFRICOM, sounds like a nice new dance festival, assume control of what is now a 12-day war against Libya, the only Northern African nation not subordinated to AFRICOM or CENTCOM. You know, it's like command and control warfare, into binding NATO obligations through its joint task force, Odyssey Dawn. Yep. I love it, Ali. Kind of make it sound all sort of biblical, you know, like, hey, we're doing something that happened way back in the day, like going off and killing people for no good reason just to advance our interests in land and stuff like that, instead of living in peace and harmony and being creative and making something out of what we got. In addition to that unprecedented integration, two members of NATO's Istanbul Cooperation Initiative, Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, are providing warplanes for Operation Odyssey Dawn. In the process, engaging in a joint campaign with both NATO and AFRICOM for the first time. The United Arab Emirates is one of 48 troop-contributing nations for NATO's Afghan war, and Bahrain another Istanbul Cooperative Initiative partner, is supplying security forces for the International Security Assistance Force. Mediterranean Dialogue member Egypt is also an unofficial force contributor for NATO in Afghanistan. Now, one thing that's really interesting about Bahrain is the fact that it's being invaded by Saudi Arabia. Cutting down all the people in the streets and they go, hey, they're fighting back. They have rocks and sticks. What are we going to do? it's terrible. I was afraid for my life, so I only killed like about 100 of them. Oh, wait, that sounds more Russian. Sorry. Nevertheless, Washington has brought together North American and European NATO allies with Persian Gulf partners for a war in Africa. The latest step in solidifying an international military alliance under U.S. control. Completing the building of an Asia-Pacific NATO, consolidating military partnerships in the Persian Gulf and throughout the Middle East, and integrating former Soviet republics in Eastern Europe, the South Caucasus, and Central Asia into the Pentagon NATO network. Okay, now this is the military of the world government, essentially, setting itself up, okay, to place itself into full command. Even Socialist International, which Helen Clark, who's now number three at the United Nations, incidentally, is a member of, said that they wanted to reduce the world's armies, indeed sovereign control, more specifically, of the world's armies, to under 50%, with 51% or more of the world's armies answering directly to NATO and the UN. Okay? At what point do you think that once you have a military force of that kind of power, every nation against you, okay, and you only have less than half of your own people, that is how they're planning to keep their world government intact. I mean, other than just the general extermination campaigns that they got going with poison in the water and air supply and all of this kind of stuff going on, you know, be that as it may, the other problematic difficulty is how you could actually fight off the entire world. All right? It's really not that easy. Unless, of course, the entire world is fighting back all at once, which would be very, very difficult. Unless, of course, there was a widely perceived direct external threat, which, incidentally, NATO would provide for every single country that wants to be free. However, most of the countries that actually do want to be free are controlled by penniless dictators who have links to intelligence agencies, mostly, or banking interests, which are all part of the military-industrial complex anyway. So they won't want to back out or go to war with the world army. You know, the idea here is to get this kind of information and this kind of thinking and consciousness out there to people earlier on to wake people up to the truth. We are in a war situation here, and they are trying to take over the world. Okay? And they will no doubt succeed unless people get motivated to change it. Now, you have no idea how powerful human motivation can be, even if it's just an individual or a small group of people. They can kick it, man. Seriously. There's no reason to suspect that we can't overthrow these scum. All right? Now, unfortunately, of course, food inflation. Anybody knows what food inflation is? You'll find out soon enough. This is in the news this week, a video series from the Corbett Report, saying that it's being basically kept hidden. All right? Now, for example, have you noticed how when you like open your packs of potato chips and the packs are like half empty or half full, depending on your perception? That's food inflation. They're charging you the same amount, saying that there's the same amount, but there's actually less chips in that bag, right? Because all the food's just kind of disappearing. It's going into smaller packaging and becoming more expensive. Okay? That's what really is. That's a great way of hiding the fact that the food prices are going incredibly expensive. I mean, if you could, if everything was kept in like these big quantities, you'd notice a huge jump in the prices. But if everything's in just small quantities, it's just a little jump across everything. You know, and unfortunately, that can wind up being very, very, very dangerous for you. Food prices are life-giving. The only reason why we've been able to support 6 billion, 7 billion people on this planet today is because of our modern agricultural farming process, which is in no small part due to our use of motor oil and petrol and things of, and phosphate fertilizers and things of that nature, which incidentally are incredibly poisonous to us anyway. The only reason why there's more of us alive is because we've used more poisons to keep us alive. Oh, the tyranny. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about radiation. I've been everywhere, man. Speaking of people that are living in radioactive, poisonous, toxic environments, we have a very special guest on the line here. It's Louis B. from the Crotch Shot Radio. Louis, welcome.
Konnichiwa, my friends. How you doing? Yes. Not just toxic. We got lead coming off the bridges over here in New York City. So, yeah, if we are so cancerous that we're the most healthiest people because the cancer fights itself off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wanted to chime in on this food inflation thing. Kind of reminds me of this complaint call that's all over YouTube. This man by the name of Randy Taylor, he called Jimmy Dean's Sausage Company and to complain that they reduced the amount of sausage rolls from 16 ounces to 12. And he's calling to complain because he had his whole family, I guess, are a bunch of Goliaths. And of course, he has a woman, a little plump Scotch girl. And he's complaining, like, how can you feed six people with a little effing, sausage stick package? So, yeah. I've seen it go on. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to be drinking soda. I know I'm going to hear, like, F-15 is bad for you. Well, the 20-ounce bottles used to cost a dollar. Diet Pepsi used to cost a dollar. So you go now, it's $1.75. And then, of course, they have but if you just want to pay a dollar, it's a little 6-ounce can they have now, an 8-ounce can.
Yeah. Everything's getting smaller and more watered down and more diluted. You know, it's like freaking Soylent Green out there.
Yeah. I mean, pretty soon you're gonna have people passing around recipes on how to cook your pet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll just go ask our local Asian person. Haha, that old gag.
Oh well, unfortunately, they'll all come down with the radiation poisoning, so we won't be able to gain from their knowledge.
this radiation is making stops at local cities like a metal band, man. It's like, coming to your town Sunday, the radiation cloud. Get ready to lose your hair and catch cancer. Sunday, coming now. Get your tickets with special guest Charlie Sheen.
Cancer, I'm winning.
Hey, yep. Well, that's the motto of the new radioactive age. You've got cancer, you're winning. Because at least you're not dead already.
How are your lungs feeling? Cancer coming to you.
Starvation getting you down. Radiation getting you sick. We have the solution. It's called funeral in a bottle. Pour some sulfuric acid over yourself and melt yourself down in the bathroom. You'll dispose of yourself along with unwanted loved ones in a jiffy.
Actually, that's not environmentally sound, Vincent. I would try that hyper-freezing that they're doing now and smashing yourself to smithereens.
Yeah. A smithereen, Vinny, would probably be preferable to a melted sulfuric acid, Vinny, down a toilet bowl, which incidentally the Belgians decided was a very good idea and actually proposed it.
Well, I mean, look at it on the bright side. I mean, you don't want your land. You want to move some dead bodies, freeze them, and, you know, make them into rock form and sell it to the crack addicts. See, some crack rocks. Smoke it. Smoke some Vinny Eastwood, you know? It's delicious. It goes down smooth.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, future generations of former meat eaters will, like, try to smoke my ashes just to get that kind of nice taste of mineral vinniness.
Yes. You go down, you probably taste like vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
Vanilla and with a touch of sage.
Yeah, because, like, I've got rage, but I'm a bit silly, so naturally it must taste like sage.
I mean, you're going to have a better reincarnation than I hope to have. I was kind of hoping to come back as spandex to be some fat woman's butt covering. But that's
Yeah, well, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
anyways, these food prices are out of control. I mean, we raise our own beef. I mean, most of it has to do with the tolls, actually, the toll roads. I mean, because I talk to a lot of truckers. And to import anything into New York City, you have to go over, I'm really low. How low am I?
You need to speak up, Louis.
I need to speak up. How are you doing?
Yeah, there you go. But yes. Unfortunately, we're kind of out of time here, Louis, so thank you very much. And people can listen to the Crotch Shot Radio later on tonight, don't take it?
Yes, 10 p.m. Eastern on CrotchShotRadio.com. Catch the virus.
Mm-mm-mm. Catch the virus with Louis B, former Baxter employee.
Actually, I was the testing animal that they had there. You know,
you were like one of the ferrets in the lab that got tested on and went.
All right, good night, everybody.
All right, Louis B, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much, mate. Catch you later. Now, yeah, okay, let's try to get a grip. We're all screwed anyway, who cares, all right? Let's just try and enjoy our fancy, fabulous, modern neo-apocalypse. You know, enjoy it. If it happens to be your end... Hey, at least you got to live in interesting times. It's more than a lot of people can say. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Catch you later at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.